Sorry About Last Night by Alexi Sale, starring Alexi Sale and Siobhan Redmond. Episode 1, A Loft.
Hello, Julie.
Come in, Mr. Hammond. Sit down. Well, Mr. Hammond, as the solicitor handling your application for political refugee status, I have to tell you the Home Office is taking its usual glacial time. Honestly, I had a client a couple of years ago from Somalia. By the time they approved him, there'd been a coup back home and he was security minister. Turned into a right evil thug as soon as he got into power. Keeps me in clients to this day. So, how's everything else?
Not too bad, Miss Cordova. Julie, the hotel they've put me in King's Cross, is a bit grim. But I go down the refugee centre most days to fill the time. It would be nice to be able to work, but apparently this country has enough qualified brain surgeons. In fact, all of the refugees down the centre, they wanted me to ask you something.
Of course. Benefit rights? Housing hassle? Racial harassment?
No. They would like to know how everything is going in your on-again, off-again relationship with your boyfriend, Andy.
Is that all they've got to talk about down there? How me and my boyfriend are getting on?
Yes, it's all we have to talk about that doesn't make us cry. Two people with a tangled relationship is just the ticket to while away the long days.
Oh, well, I'm still not
sure. Oh, great, thank you. Do you mind if I use this tape recorder? Get all the details accurately. People can get nasty if I miss stuff out. Hello, interview commences 14:25. Present Mr. Hammond, political refugee, and Julie Cordova, left-wing solicitor. So, Julie, you, Cambridge graduate, well-connected high flyer, met your boyfriend Andy Karolidis, unemployed ex-soldier, at a Labour Party meeting. How's it going? A recipe for disaster or delirium?
Yes. Hello, everybody. He's not unemployed. He works in his dad's cafe when they're busy. To be honest, it's all a bit of a strain at the moment. I'm not sure it's worth starting a new relationship at my age. I think, in my head, I'd settled for being a spinster. For the rest of my life, I'd spinst. I had my life together. Well, for me, I had my life together. Only lost all my credit cards once a week. Visits to casualty with falls, sprains and poking myself in the eye down to once a month. Then, wallop, I meet this guy and suddenly there's another whole person to think about all the time. It's like having a baby or something.
See, Mrs. Obasanjo, I told you, that's what she said. It's like having a baby or something.
I'm sorry I doubted you, Mr. Hammond. I couldn't believe she would say something like that, paging Dr. Freud to the lady solicitor's office, eh?
Can we get on with the tape? I've got to be washing Carwin's screens at 3.
Okay. Keep your horses on, Mr. Lukic.
I mean, basically, though we're both in our 40s, we've nowhere to have sex. He lives with his dad, and the people I lodge with never go out because they've got kids. The other night, we tried doing it in his brother's Vauxhall. Andy spent 5 minutes caressing the knob on the car's radio in the mistaken belief that it was part of my anatomy. He got particularly passionate, switched it on, and thought he'd brought me to such a pitch of orgasm that I'd started singing, "Do You Know the Way to San Jose?"
Yes. I might have to edit this tape for the Islamic fundamentalist refugees, but do go on.
So these refugees sit around all day listening to the intimate details of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell them we were coming to this seedy hotel in King's Cross in an attempt for once to have some uninterrupted sex?
No need. Mr. Hammad's in the room next door. That's where social services have put him.
Hello! Don't mind me. You just carry on having uninterrupted sex.
Bloody hell, this is ridiculous. I can't do it now.
Oh, you men. You're so sensitive. You can't do it because there's a refugee next door. You can't do it because a horse is looking at you.
That horse had a nasty look in its eye. I think it was jealous because it was a gelding. I never liked the idea of doing it out the dust. And come to think of it, that horse also reminded me of Esther Ranson. Look, there's a kettle and some biscuits here. Let's have a cup of tea.
Oh...
Oh, look, you know, you women have got it easy when it comes to sex. For a bloke, every time you want to have a bit of fun, it's like you have to put this bloody tent up and then worry about keeping it up, even though it's really wet and windy.
So I'm some sort of rain-soaked holiday camp, am I? Look, the truth is, you and I are too bloody old and too bloody straight for this kind of carry-on. Fancy getting to be 40 and neither of us having a place of our own. Do you not think it's a teeny bit pathetic for a man of your age to be living at home with his dad?
No, I wouldn't call it pathetic. In fact, I think it's only just on the sad side and mildly tragic. And listen to Miss Independence here. You're still hanging in there with that poor couple who were good enough to put you up for a week over 3 years ago.
Oh, they like having me there. They said just last July how much they liked having me there. Well, maybe we could think about getting a place together.
A place? Well, me and you, together.
Well, we'd need a spare room for Mr. Hamad.
Most kind.
You'd want to move in with me?
Yes. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. A lot of the time, I never know whether you like me or not. I mean, there's never been anybody in my life before where it mattered what they thought about me. It's unsettling. I think you quite like me most of the time, but sometimes I think you hate me, and if you had a hatchet, you'd kill me, or I think I embarrass you a lot of the time.
Oh, Andy, darling. Oh, of course, I really like you. No, we must talk. If you're unsure how I feel, ask me, okay? Talk. That's all we need. I'll never lie to you.
Talk. Right. So you absolutely want to move in together?
Absolutely.
Certainly, that's what it says you should do next in the book.
What book?
This book. Set sail on the SS relationship. It's all about how to have a successful relationship. It's written by a woman who's a professor of marriage at Harvard University. See, look in this chapter here, Staying Off the Rocks. She says you can't stay in the shallows of dating. You have to head your ship for deeper waters, or you'll end up in the harbour being sold a wonky wooden camel by an Arab. No offence, Mr. Hamad.
None taken.
So you'll start looking around estate agents then?
I'll start looking round estate agents then.
I'll have to get a full-time job.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to Security Guard de Paris. Are you both refitting?
No, just me. I've got a job with Bannerman Security.
Oh, lucky you. Bannerman's uniform is a dream. A hint of 18th century French hussar, a drop of Grenadier Guard, and a faint homage to the Waffen SS. I'll go and get you one in a large.
Andy, why do you want to be a security guard? Working in a cafe from 7 till 3:30, 5 days a week, should be enough for any man.
I need extra money.
You're not pregnant, are you?
No, but... Well, me and Julia think they're getting a place together.
Why?
It's what you do, isn't it? When you like a woman.
Is it? Why?
It's what people do.
People dress up in rubber and stick fire hoses up each other's bottoms, but you don't have to.
What are you on about?
Couples. I hate couples. I don't see why I should be made to feel a failure, because I'm 35, single, unskilled, borderline alcoholic, and live with me dad. And only mate to single men who live with their dads.
No, indeed. Nobody thinks you're a failure, Michael. You couldn't lend me the money, could you?
Well, I would, but I'm saving up. Me and me mates are going over to Florida in March. We're planning to get tickets for a space shuttle landing and dress up in monkey suits. And when the shuttle lands, we'll be the first thing the astronauts see.
Here we are, sir, your security guard uniform. Do you want it with or without the ceremonial sword?
Bye, Andy.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, mate. Hi, Judy. I'm just closing up. Give us a minute, will you? Want a cup of tea?
You got any fruit teas?
This is a cafe. We don't do fruit teas. I could pour some hot water over an apple if you want.
No, forget it. I'm fine. My God, they say you're getting old when policemen start looking young. Well, that's happened for years. Now, the chief rabbi's looking young. Look, he used to be this old guy with a long white beard. And now he's this young dude wearing his yarmulke at a jaunty soul brother angle.
You're Jewish, aren't you?
Not at the moment, no.
Yeah, I thought not. What do you mean, not at the moment?
Well, after my marriage broke up and I had my breakdown, as you know, for a while I suffered from a condition later diagnosed as post-traumatic Judaism. One day I was walking past the salt beef bar, something clicked in my head. I went in and started kvetching to the owner. I was going, oi, this, already, that. It was like a bad Fagin impression. My therapist thought that my condition was caused by my intense identification with oppressed minorities, that at a moment of stress, I'd actually become one. And I still sometimes revert, but it's basically under control.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Hey, so did you get the details of this flat we're going to look at from the estate agent?
Yeah, I've got them in my handbag. Oh!
Careful!
What's that doing in there? And that shouldn't be in there. That's Exhibit A in a murder trial.
I'm not mistaken, that's a Browning 9mm semi-automatic pistol.
I know. I've got to stop taking evidence home with me. Oh, is that a kebab?
Ew, don't eat that.
Oh, don't be silly. Mold's all right for you. It's penicillin, isn't it? Oh, Andy, just think. Our own place will be able to give benefit parties.
What's a benefit party?
Well, us left-wing lawyers think it's a bit decadent just to have a party for its own sake, but if it's in a good cause, like Tango for Torture Victims, then it's okay.
I've never enjoyed giving parties myself. I mean, I always worry where the dip's going. I mean, if you ever tried getting hummus out of a shag pile carpet, it'd be easier to get Tony Benn away from a microphone.
Ah, here we are. Now, the first dwelling we're going to look at is a big loft-style place. We need to be there in about an hour.
Wow, it's quite a thought, isn't it? Living with someone. I've never lived with anyone before.
No, me neither.
But you were married.
Oh, yes, but just after we got married, you went to LA to work out there, and he was arrested for bigamy at the airport.
Bigamy?
Well, he'd lived in California in the 60s, and he was sort of married there, but only by the high priest of a sun-worshipping cult that he used to be in. The marriage took the form of an exchange of crystals with a woman called Sage while floating in the ocean off Malibu. Well, of course, he'd forgotten all about it when he married me, but apparently that counts as a legal marriage in California, so he was arrested at immigration. And then he had to get in touch with Sage to get a divorce, and they found they'd grown together, so he stayed out there. And then I had my breakdown, and, well, oy vey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, we got a bit of time. Come upstairs and say hello to Dad and Michael.
And the headlines tonight. News of fresh massacres in Chechnya.
Hooray!
Events of an ecological disaster in Pakistan.
Hooray!
And a further food poisoning scare concerning pies.
Hooray!
Dad, Michael, Julie's here.
Hello, Mr. Carolides, Michael.
Hello, dear. So, you're thinking of setting up home with my son?
Yeah, well, you get sick of shagging in car parks and sleazy hotels, don't you? Honestly, I think I've got crabs from one of those places. Add that to my cystitis and I may as well have a season ticket to the sexually transmitted disease.
Julie, come in there. Come and see my bedroom. You've never seen it before, have you?
I have to tell you, right, usually I'm pretty neat. I have to have all my shoes pointing towards Aldershot, that sort of thing. But the room's a bit of a mess at the moment.
Dear God, it looks like a place where they make microchips or something. The light's hurting my eyes.
I like cleaning. Order, that's all.
Well, I have to say, I'm not quite as neat as this. I am a clean girl, of course, but not quite as neat as you appear to be.
I'm sure your flat can't be as big a mess as your handbag.
No, of course not. It's much worse.
So what sort of place is this we're going to look at?
Well, they call it a sophisticated New York-style loft. I always thought a loft was something with a water tank and dead pigeons in it. That doesn't sound very sophisticated.
No, it just means a big industrial space.
I know. I was being ironic.
That's something I've never got, irony. It's just saying stuff backwards as far as I'm concerned. Like snobby English people always say about Americans. They just don't get our irony, do they, Americans? Well, whoop-de-doo. Americans might have the drive and the vision and the straight teeth and the classless society. But when it's cold and an English person says it's really hot, they just don't get it because they don't have our English irony. Well, the joke's certainly on them and no mistake. So what did this place used to be?
It's a converted pet food factory. Usually these places are dead expensive, but this apartment's really cheap for some reason.
Yeah, I know these places. They take some redundant factory and don't do anything to it except divide it up a bit and change the name to Zone Atlantis or Miami Heights or something. Then they charge a fortune for what they call units. What's this place called?
The Old Pet Food Factory.
Oh. What number flat was it?
27. Hi, we've come to look at the apartment. Is that Gavin from the estate agents?
Tea cake, meal ticket, pullover process.
We've come to look at the apartment.
Flawed man, cringe baking tray subsonic.
No, we've
come... Here, let me try. Hello, 20 silk cut man, hook, strut and beaver coat banana.
Ah, really celestic. Trackside 10 persuasion.
Trackside 10 persuasion.
Oh, hi, Julie and Andy, right? I was wondering where you'd got to. I'm Gavin from the estate agents. Come in, come along in, please.
Number 17. Well, I was pressing 27. Who was I talking to?
Such a beautiful, light, airy space.
Yes, and an excellent investment, I would think. Amortising the mortgage costs and looking at a financial package.
Oh, don't let's talk about stuff like that. This is a home to be lived in, not a commodity. Just stand and feel the chi.
The what?
Chi, the irrefutable energy that inhabits the universe. Chi energy has been harnessed since prehistoric times to build monuments like Stonehenge. And now we can use it through the ancient Chinese art of Feng Shui to make beautiful living spaces. But now, go, listen to the bricks and the stories they have to tell. Go, go, go.
You don't seem like your usual...
Usual estate agent. No, well, I used to be the most horrendous little yuppie. Mobile phone, golf, GTI, the lot. Then I read this book, I Think I Want What I Think I Want, I Think, by Dr. Andrew Badadas. Do you know it?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, you should read it. Changed my life. Julie, Julie, can you see what's been written on the walls?
Where?
There, huge angry letters scrawled on the walls, inexpertly cleaned off. See, see, die, your mother must die, die pigs, die slob scum. I think that might be the chalk outline of a body on the floor.
Gavin, what happened to the people who were in this flat before?
Oh, they were slaughtered.
Eh?
They were slaughtered, butchered, rubbed out, minced and eviscerated, hacked to pieces, all of them.
Well, you didn't tell us about this.
Oh, it's in the handout. Here we are, full CH, that's full central heating, exclusive charge, that excludes service charges, prev oct all slaughtered, previous occupants all slaughtered, see? Yes, odd story, couple late 30s, both never been in long-term relationships before, she very, very tidy, tins of beans all the right way up in the cupboard and so on, him, complete slob. Anyway, his parents come to stay, also complete slobs, father tried to dry out wet slippers in the toaster, left them there, she cracked and slaughtered them all with an axe. Then she turned the axe on herself, you know.
I saw Mr. Hamad. Did they like the loft-style apartment?
I talked to Julie on her mobile. She said there were some problems.
Oh, well, they can't expect to like the first place they see. So, are they going out tonight, or are they staying in with a pizza and a nice Whoopi Goldberg video?
They're going to meet her friends in a pub in Soho.
Oh, no. Issue the disaster warnings, I think.
I have always felt Andy is far too sensitive about her friends. They aren't patronizing him as he thinks. He is just different from them, and they are slightly unsure as to how to deal with him. That's all.
No, I disagree. There's something about those people who went to Oxford or Cambridge. They're so insular. They don't know anybody who isn't exactly like them. They think Eskimos and people who went to Hull University are more or less the same.
Excuse me. Thanks, cheers. You just squeezed past. Thanks. See, I don't think being neat necessarily transforms someone into an axe murderer. Sure, it's annoying when somebody squeezes a tube of Primula cheese paste from the middle rather than rolling it up neatly from the end so there's lots of congealing paste left uselessly in the tube. Sure, it's annoying, but you don't want to murder them. Just shoot them in the knees a bit.
Talking of shooting, where's your friend?
Do I sense some hostility towards my friends?
Oh, a lot of them are fine. I mean, all those guilty criminals that you get off, they're fine. It's this lot, your mates from Cambridge. It's like they've been grown from pods by aliens. They're so alike. And you've known each other for so long, you've stopped speaking English to each other. You've got this secret language, stupid Ranto.
Oh, come on. How do your friends talk to each other?
I don't have any friends. You're my only friend.
Did this room suddenly get smaller? What do you mean you haven't got any friends? I'm not ready to be a boy's only friend. Makes me sound like Lassie.
I don't have any friends. In fact, I'm not really sure what friends are for.
My friends aren't for anything. They're not a set of kitchen appliances. Paul's really good for peeling aubergines and Jessica's great for getting the stones out of avocados. Friends are just... friends.
Yeah, well, that explains it very well. Pint of Guinness and a dry sherry, please, mate.
Pint of Guinness, dry sherry, right.
They should be in here somewhere. And we won't stay long anyway. Just wish them a happy birthday, have a quick drink, and then we can go.
There's your pint of Guinness, mate. There's your dry sherry, sweetheart.
Actually, sweetheart, the Guinness is for me and the sherry's for him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You ate Guinness.
I know. He just annoyed me, patronising bastard. The barman's watching me. Oh, lovely. Oh, it's horrible. How can you drink this stuff?
It's better than bleeding dry sherry.
Ah, there's the gang.
Saw Hugh Calderwood the other day with his wife.
Oh, period pains.
No, period pains was years ago. This one's weather forecast, sister. You know, she was in the same year as Julie.
Brown trousers!
Absolutely.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
You remember Andy, don't you?
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hi,
Andy. Hey, has anybody read that new book, Your Mind's a Suitcase, Don't Lose It?
Just finished it. Changed my whole attitude to life. I'm actually thinking of stopping being a production head and instead becoming a head of production.
Big move. Anyway, come on, let's get going.
Where?
Polly Wall has booked one of those laser battle places, you know, where you run around shooting each other with laser guns.
Now then, let's listen up, space troopers. This gun here fires a beam of laser light, which is registered as a hit on your body armour.
I really don't think it's a good idea me playing this game.
Oh, come on, don't be such a misery guts. Have some fun for once in your life.
No, it's not that. It's just I was a real soldier for 20 years. I mean, I might be your cuddly pushy cat, but I'm a trained killer at the taxpayer's expense. It's in me DNA, and in battle, it comes out.
Oh, don't be silly.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Look now, little lady. Okay, one group will defend the Citadel, and the other group will try and steal the sacred power crystal by attacking the Citadel. Any questions? Okay, let's hustle, people. Split yourselves into two groups.
What sort of groups? Men versus women?
Oh, rubbish. No,
lawyers versus media?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oxford versus Cambridge.
Oh, come on.
Aldi's versus Marks.
Yeah!
Help!
Help! Let's get out! There's a madman in here! Let us out! Let us out!
Hey, what is the matter, ladies?
It's Julie's bloody boyfriend. He's gone insane. I was hiding behind a boulder, sniping, when he came up behind me, knocked me to the floor, stuck his gun in my mouth and fired it about 50 times. I think he's microwaved my tonsils.
Julie.
Yes, what?
You still got that 9mm Browning in your bag?
I think so, why?
Give it to me. That Toby's shooting too many of our people. I want to take him out.
What? Are you going to kill him?
No, just put a round in his foot, slow him up a bit. He won't know it's me in the dark.
Andy, you've gone crazy.
Are you going to give me that gun or not?
No.
Right, I'll remember this, traitor. Paul, you're letting yourself get hit too many times. Why aren't you covering our flank? Get over there and keep yourself under cover and don't fire till there are 15 metres. Elementary and Giles, I'm going to take a skirmish party out. I want you two to come with me and you covering fire until we're hidden. All right, let's move it.
Move it.
De tiro va el carnero sujetado a la culata, sujetado a la culata, siempre sin te dejarla. El sol se aleja batido porque la noche ha encendido su farolito de plata.
Bye, Toby. I'm sure your arm's only dislocated. So long, Prue. Look, your limp's getting better already.
That man's an utter maniac.
Bye, then. Terrific. See you soon. Bye.
You, walk with me. So where would you say that ranked on the scale of embarrassing events? Knob out in front of the Pope, do you think? Or just farting while addressing the United Nations General Assembly?
That wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad? You tried to kill several of my friends. What would be bad on your scale of things? A poison gas attack on Windsor? If you were an elephant, the game wardens would be after you with a tranquilizer dance. It's my fault. It doesn't work. People only know people like themselves, and we're so different, you and me. It's just hopeless. There's only one thing we can do, isn't there?
Yeah. Get married.
Yes. Eh?
Look, we've both got our lives sorted out. We can live alone till it's time to go into sheltered accommodation, sit in a high-back chair all day singing Daisy Daisy. That'll be the safe option, the easy option. I mean, there's so much about you that drives me nuts. Your messiness and your middle-class guilt and your awful bloody friends. And, yeah, I know the list of my crimes is just as long, but there's something between us, whether we like it or not. So we should get married. If we don't make a big commitment, we'll keep finding ways to back out. It doesn't matter if we haven't got anywhere to live together. Maybe we'll never live together, I don't know. But we'll be married.
That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life.
You're going to say yes?
Yeah.
That's the right decision. You'll probably regret it every day of your life. Come in.
So where did you get this stupid idea?
Well, I got it out of a book. It's called Women Are From Mars, Men Are From Croydon. It really changed my life. Are you all right about us getting married?
Enough with the questions already. What's not to be all right about? Oi, Gewalt.
Sorry About Last Night was written by Alexi Sale, who also played Andy. Siobhan Redmond was Julie, Nadim Zawala was Mr. Hamad, Adjoa Ando was Mrs. Abasanjo, Chris Pavlo was Mr. Lukic, Harry Taub was Dad, Gary Bleasdale was Michael, and Simon Greenall was Gavin the estate agent. Other parts were played by Tony Barclay, Ruth Jones, and the cast. Sorry About Last Night was produced and directed by Joe Clegg with Alexi Sale.